Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Today, we are in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul shares perseverance from prison.
Because it is important that we walk in the place where God has called us, but that we do it with a heart that is focused on who we really are. You can be an earthbound Christian or you can be a heavenbound Christian. That's a choice that we are given to make. And I call this boot training camp, the 60, 70, if you're fortunate enough to have 80 years. This is where we are being trained on how the Lord has called us and what He's called us to. And by the way, He hasn't spelled it all out in the Bible.
Janie, in this chapter, Paul really perseveres with the people of Philippi. He tells them things over and over, and he is teaching them perseverance as he shares perseverance from prison. But this chapter also
is a lot like something that could make us happy and scared and cause us to say, oh, no way, all at the same time.
That's frightening, Sharon.
It's a pretty good chapter, so why don't we go ahead and get started in it?
Why don't you just read verse 1 so see what we can pick up about your analogy out of verse 1.
Okay. Well, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe.
Well, one thing that I notice here, Sharon, is as Paul writes his letters, and of course I know transcribers broke them up into chapters, but he is constantly reiterating to rejoice, to have joy, to have positive emotions and thinking and feeling. And I thought here when he says rejoice in the Lord, and I thought, you know, that's such a necessity with life. If we are not constantly reminding one another to rejoice and how to rejoice when things are not pleasant, when things are painful, when mm-hmm. we suffer losses, if we really care about one another, then rejoicing has got to be a big part of our life. And that to me explained why he said, hey, I need to keep telling you this over and over. And in my New King James, he says, because for you, it's not tedious, but it's safe. Uh-huh. But to say the same things over and over, Sharon, mm-hmm. is to give us a foundation, isn't it?
Yeah. And one thing that you just said that really caught my attention was that with rejoicing, you have to look on the positive side. You have to be positive about things. And what about the positive thinkers out there that say we don't need God, we just need to think positively? I've heard that just this week, that we just need positive thinking. We don't need God to do anything in our lives. And so for that person out there that might be saying, well, what's the difference between having positive direction toward rejoicing and just positive thinking?
That's a real good question. And you're probably too young to remember, but there used to be great courses taught on the power of positive thinking. And they're probably still out there with motivational speakers. That type of positive thinking is done from the soul. And so even if you're thinking positive, you're still thinking with two entities. You're thinking with your mind, and you're thinking with your soul, with your emotions and the repercussions. But if you want to have positive thinking that is life-changing, and again, let me explain, life-changing not for 60 or 70 or possibly 80 years, but life-changing for eternity.
Okay.
Then you need to have that third component. You need to have the spirit with your soul and your mind. And you can't have that apart from Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit leading and guiding. So
rejoicing comes through the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. As a, I'm going to use the word byproduct, of your relationship of having him indwelling you and because of what Christ has done for you at the cross.
Okay.
So that's a good point, though, Sharon, because that's man wants to be able to do it within man's ability, right? Yeah.
To be in control of our own destiny.
That's right. And you may be, but it may not be the destiny that you want if you're going to take control of it. So when we talk about rejoicing, it's got to be from the right source.
Okay.
And the right source has to be eternal life.
Okay.
So go ahead and then just read verse 2 and see what surprises we get there.
Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision.
Okay. Or we can say mutilation.
Okay.
We may be having tongue twisters with our words today. So beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. Now, he says that right after he says, I keep needing to say the same things to you.
Mm-hmm.
So what I got out of this verse is that at this particular time, they were under Roman rule. Paul was in prison, and yet he was telling the people he was writing to, beware of the dogs.
And which are unbelievers.
Unbelievers.
Okay.
Beware of evil workers. Could be the Judaizers, people who wanted to keep you under law. And then beware of mutilations. Remember that the Jewish people required the circumcision of every male as an outward sign that they were very right on.
Okay.
And that you needed to follow their rules and their laws. And yes, it has symbolic meaning. The only problem is the Jews never got their hearts right to go along with their outward action.
Okay. And it'd be kind of like us getting baptized without really having that heart change.
And that's
so you're just getting wet.
Yeah.
Basically.
And that's a very good point because a lot of people in different denominations accept Jesus Christ in their heart and believe. And then the next thing they're to do is to fill out forms, become a part of a church group, and then get baptized.
Right.
Okay. I do wish that if that was the regime, that they would also follow through with the other mandate, and that is to have the Lord's Supper. And so few have the Lord's Supper except on special occasions, but the baptism is almost a signature that you have to do if you're going to get on with serving.
And they say that's an outward expression, an outward profession of what's happened inward. Mm-hmm. And so that was basically what they were doing with the circumcision.
Yes, but the thing of it is their hearts never changed.
Right. Okay.
They were letting the outward act be sufficient, and yet the heart was remaining totally after flesh.
Got it.
The very thing they were cutting away.
Right.
All right. So a little bit of contradictory. So then in verse 3, it's neat because then Paul says, now here is what real circumcision is. Here is what's real separation of cutting away the flesh. So what are the requirements there, Sharon?
For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh.
Okay, so circumcision really is not an act so much as it is a way of being and thinking and choosing.
Like a lifestyle.
Yes, yes. Now, let me hit you with one.
Oh, no.
Okay, here we go. He says, we worship God in the Spirit. So true circumcision looks to me like it needs to start off with worship. A heart of worship, a mindset of worship. And the only way that we can truly worship God's in the Spirit. And then you rejoice in Jesus Christ. Wow. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then what did that Son do? He put himself of no reputation, gave up everything that he had in his comfort zone.
Right.
And he came here and became nothing. So that we could be everything.
Right.
And so that's one of the reasons we can rejoice. But if we don't have that future thought in mind,
right,
life can cut the rejoicing cycle, can it?
And the fact that he took our place on the cross, I mean, everything that he did for us on the cross, the sacrifice that he made, not just in the 33 years leading up to his ministry, but during his ministry, he was exhausted. I mean, there were so many things that he bore during that 3 years of ministry. And then to carry the cross to Calvary and just climb up on it for us. I mean, there is so much to rejoice in him for, that we are blessed because of what he's done.
And we'll never understand that pain level.
No.
Never. It's beyond human comprehension. But the last part here says, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, Sharon, let's fess up. When have we in our lives, because we use ourselves as examples, not to bring attention to ourselves, but we know we've been in the school of failure for a long time.
Absolutely.
Give me an example of when you have taken confidence in the flesh. I'll share one of mine if you'll share one of yours.
Oh, one. Let's see.
We don't have that hour program, Sharon. We got to get it done in about 20 more minutes.
Well, I'll tell you one that I took confidence in the fact that I was a Christian and my husband wasn't.
Oh.
And so I took that place of head of my home, and this was many years ago. He's since come to know the Lord. But just that whole attitude of, well, Lord, he doesn't know what's best for the family like I do. He doesn't hear you like I do. That attitude. And then he took me to 2 Peter chapter 3, and that just hit me right over the head, because 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about submitting to your husband even when he doesn't know the Lord. So,
and without a word being spoken, you may win him by your actions.
Absolutely.
And the manner of your life.
And that's what happened.
Neat. Well, that's a good testimony. And there was a time in my life when I had the privilege of having been trained in a particular occupation, doing my own practice, and I got an opportunity so unplanned for and unsought to be able to be a professor in a state college teaching the very thing that I loved. And I was just overwhelmed and thought, this is my plateau. This is where the Lord has brought me. It's a state college, but I can learn to be savvy in letting the absolutes of Scripture be known in a state school, but within the confines and the restrictions that you have.
Right.
And I thought I had met my final destination as far as career was concerned.
Right.
Well, that did last a few years, but it was a change in my circumstance with my family. And so that had to change locations. All right. So I cried a little and thought, well, what next? All right. But I had to give up that confidence in that flesh that I had gained. Well, I turned right back around, moved to a different state, started a practice again, and then was requested without seeking it to be able to work in a hospital doing the thing that I love the most. I thought, oh, finally, I'm here. I love the home, the location, the family surroundings, and I will just do this job until I retire. Well, things changed. And once again, I had to walk away from something that had some prestige. And so here I am being able to be a professor, and that prestige, confidence in the flesh, had to go. I had to lose it. Working in a hospital, had a certain amount of esteem, had to lose it. And then my health took a change to where I thought, I'll never do anything else again except just love the Lord. And then you came along a few years later. So I don't know if the third time's the charm or not, but that's what I'm talking about, where you're comfortable in things that you've done. You know, you've worked to get to that point. We send our kids to school for 25 years, so they're going to be par excellent in whatever career they have. We certainly don't send them 25 years to learn the Word of God, do we?
No, we don't.
So we prepare them to work in the natural. And then when those natural opportunities or careers don't gel and they mess up, then they fight failure. Mm-hmm. They fight loss of identity because it hasn't been based on the solid things. So what do we need to do to be willing to say to listeners today, even if you're in school preparing, keep your priorities. you can prepare for maybe 50 years or 60 years of a career, but you can prepare for eternity if you put the priorities right in your life and don't take confidence in the flesh. But people need to recognize right now that wherever you are, if you're in the middle of your career, stop and reevaluate. Because if you go back and look at Ecclesiastes, you can spend a lot of times doing a lot of wonderful things under the sun, which means earthbound. And the wisest man, Solomon, said, that's vanity. It doesn't, it's not going to amount to anything when it's all said and done. And nowadays, we don't hear that many people speaking about the heavenly being. You can be an earthbound Christian or you can be a heavenbound Christian. That's a choice that we are given to make. And unfortunately, a lot of our pulpits are not teaching us that option.
Yeah. We do get really focused on service and serving and things we can do physically to serve the Lord and the things around us. And we forget that it's all about Him. Seeing things from heaven down.
And I call this boot training camp, the 60, 70, if you're fortunate enough to have 80 years. This is the boot training. This is where we are being trained on how the Lord has called us and what He's called us to. And by the way, He hasn't spelled it all out in the Bible. I was reading the other day in Deuteronomy, I think it was Deuteronomy 29:29, when it says the secret things belong to the Lord. So He's not told us exactly what awaits us, but He's given us hints. And it's so glorious that He says you're not going to be able to handle it in this natural body that I've given you. So follow through with the sergeant's commands or the commander's commands.
Right. Follow and trust and obey because there's no other way.
Then Paul does expound in case people maybe need to look and make a comparison in their own life. You know, he talked about, he said that he was circumcised on the eighth day. So he was following his parents were following a tradition for him. All right. And then he's got a good heritage. I mean, he's from the tribe of Benjamin, from the stock of Israel, a Hebrew of Hebrews. I would say that he's saying he's the best of the bestest.
Right.
Okay. And concerning a law, a Pharisee, he held a current position of authority, making decisions.
So he was right up there with the status.
That's right.
Social, he met all the status quos, right?
That's right. And he was a people pleaser and he was able to command what he wanted to do.
But big in society.
Big in society and with authority.
Okay.
And then one day traveling on the road to Damascus, where he was going to fulfill some more of his confidence in the flesh, his flesh got struck down, didn't it?
Yeah.
And he was blinded and had to have some help from a lay person until he could see with his eyes the way the Lord wanted him to see and hear with his ears. So if we want to say, oh, I can't give up these things, I've worked too hard for them, we can look at Paul and say, are you above what Paul was given in this natural life?
Right.
And the Lord let him have all that and the Lord let him accomplish all that.
And not that there's anything wrong with having some of those places. I mean, we all need people that have authority and
we need CEOs of companies
absolutely.
That are godly people. We need people in the marketplace that may be salesmen or...
So that's not what you're saying. That's what I was trying to get to, is that you're not saying...
That you've all got to be...
If you're doing that, then you're not following the Lord.
No. He put us here to work. And we have everybody from farmers, electricians, plumbers, CEOs.
Doctors, lawyers.
Yes.
And the list goes on.
So the thing of it is, wherever we have been placed, then we need to recognize who has placed us there and what His purpose is in how we are to represent Him.
Right.
I was in a store the other day and they were shorthanded and they were having some problems. And they looked at me rather embarrassed and said, would you mind waiting? And I said, no, I don't mind waiting. In fact, that probably will help develop some of my character. And I said, and there's virtue in waiting. And the lady behind me said, I work in a doctor's office, and I wish there was more people that would come into my doctor's office with your attitude.
Well, I tell you, I had to wait a long time this morning for some tests and things like that at the hospital. So I sat there for a little bit, and after 20 or 30 minutes went by, I started feeling myself get that way. And I was going, okay, wait, patience.
Uh-huh.
Just wait. Just be patient.
So. And with rejoicing.
Yeah.
And that's what I said when the lady came back. Yeah. I said, I can even wait and rejoice because that's what my God has told me. And, you know, she just was overwhelmed. All right. And I was so glad that I had proclaimed what the Spirit wanted me to. But it was just saying, hey, you're right now more important than my need.
Right.
You've got a crisis going in this store and I can help you by waiting patiently for you.
Right.
Just a simple little thing. And that's what we need to see in the dailies. Mm-hmm. We can rejoice in a line where we have to wait.
Right.
Who knows, a person in front of us or behind us may need an encouraging word that we can give and help change their attitude. So it is important that we walk in the place where God has called us, but that we do it with a heart that is still focused on who we really are. And then you opened up with something about, Janie, what can make us happy? Well, what can make us happy is the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. And what can make us scared at the same time? And that's where we come in with like verse 7 and 8, where Paul says, well, why don't you read it?
But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ.
Now, a lot of people may think that a job loss or a relationship loss is what the Lord's talking about here. And I am certainly not saying that cannot be a part of the equation. But really, when we suffer loss, it usually has to do with being misunderstood because we've said things about who we are or who Jesus Christ is, and we're rejected.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord certainly spoke of his relationship with his Father, and most of the people that he spoke of it with, including his disciples, either didn't understand it, were not interested in it, or said, these are hard sayings, and turned away from him and walked with him no more. He suffered loss as he was ridiculed. You know, and it took a long time for him to build trust within the body of Christ because he had been a murderer.
Right.
Of the very people now that he said that he came to minister to. And then he had to separate himself and not really have fellowship socializing with the world. If you compromise and just say, well, this is what I believe, but I'll go ahead and
straddle the fence.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Then, you know, we need to know that we're going to need to suffer loss because we will suffer loss one kind or another. We'll mm-hmm. either suffer it because we've compromised or we'll suffer loss because we're alienated because we're different.
Right.
We are going to look extreme or what have you. But the Lord says, I am the way. And he didn't give multiple choices.
Right.
And I know our time is on the countdown.
Well, if you want to close us in prayer, that would be great.
All right. Father, what a gift it is to be able to come to you boldly before the throne of grace in time of need and have challenging conversation, Father, but also casual conversation, just to talk to you and praise you for your love, for your faithfulness, for the hope that a trial is for a season, but that you worketh all things together for good for those that are love you. Father, it is always a privilege to be able to speak to you, knowing that your heart and your ears are attuned to every word and thought that we have. And Father, we thank you for Philippians 3, because even though it does make us happy, it does show us there is a price to be paid. Not that it has to scare us, but Father, that it needs to motivate us unto things that are important that hang for life eternal. Make this prayer reality to everyone that listens in the place that they need to hear. and we'll thank and praise you. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.